the chapter of James that we read earlier on, James chapter 1, and I just have the two verses, although we could go on with the verse after actually as well. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And it continues, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed. We see from this something of our fallen state. Our fallen state. It includes forgetfulness. It's a serious state. This verse has often struck me, as it may have done yourself, because it reminds us of what we do so much. I described it rather like a barb on a fishing hook. They have fishing hooks now, they don't like to have a barb, but the barb comes back like a little arrow pointing back. So when the fish is caught on the hook, it can't then twist and put itself off the hook, because if it was just a straight hook, it would come. But when the hook comes round, I can give you a little illustration here. The hook comes round, it has a little V bit coming back on it. So when that bit goes through, then the arrow, as it were, is pointed through and it grips onto the mat. Some of you might like that sort of description, but it grips the mouth of the fish, so it can't get off the hook. And James does that here in his speech. It's very much like the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that he says things that catch people, and as it were, trap people, but catch them for their good. So here, you see, someone says, "Oh well, of course, I'm not just a hearer of the word; I'm a doer of the word as well." But then he says, he describes this one, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He said, this is what it's like. A man beholding his natural face in a glass, or we will say in a mirror, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And whenever I've heard that before, I've always thought, yes, whenever you look at yourself in the mirror, you can do whatever you need to do, or don't do anything. And then you walk away, and actually, you can't remember what you look like. If you had to do a drawing, I'm sure in trendy churches at this point, they would get everyone to have a mirror and to look at it, and then to do a drawing of themselves when they take the mirror away, and then they'd all have a good laugh about how true this is. But of course, it isn't a funny matter that it's true, it's a serious matter. And often the way that the Bible expresses things, it isn't to humour people, it's to catch them. Right, the hook on the barb, or the barb on the hook that catches the fish. We know this is right of us, don't we? We hear the words, of course we apply it to the scriptures. Not just what we look at when we look at the mirror, when we hear the word of God. We hear it, we agree with it. Hopefully, but we go away and we're just like we were so much often of the time. We're like the man that looks in the mirror and he goes away and he doesn't remember what he looks like. It's like the seed in the parable of the sower. He that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becometh unfruitful. Well, we know that for some the seed lands on good soil and they go forth as the believer does, but there's still an element of this sinful nature within us, within the true believer as well, within the true Christian. One of these things is forgetfulness here, that we don't remember things as we should do. Trivial things we forget, and important things we forget. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, every aspect was affected, including his mind and his memory. All contributes to our sinful state. We don't remember. We aren't only, as it were, fallen as well, but we're stuck in such a place until the Lord helps us. We spoke about this recently on the subject of the will of man, how the will of man says something, but it's not able to turn to God. We're stuck in a sinful state. Very terrible state. And we see this with Remembrance Sunday. The fact that it exists. We should remember things all the time. When it comes to that, how the scripture helps us in a little while. But just a little bit on remembrance of what happened in days gone past. Remembrance Sunday was not intended as a political statement, one that would have to be argued for or against. It was something quite incredible that had happened in this war, that the two sides, to a large degree, although there were other battles going off, were in these great big trenches, the first time real trench warfare, and it meant that it was very hard really to kill each other. It was very hard for a battle to take place very quickly. I'm not an expert on warfare. We have some perhaps who are here, but it was a hideous place to be in those trenches for 4 years, the best part of 4 years. I've been trying to read up about it, because to illustrate forgetfulness, I was only born 18 years after the end of World War II. I'm like how old I am now, but that's not the point. 18 years after the end of World War II, and at school, and I'm not thinking of my parents particularly, but I think generally most of us in our homes, we were not taught anything about World War I or World War II. It was as if it never had happened. And we were only born 18 years after it had finished. People wanted to forget about it. So it's a good thing that Remembrance Sunday still goes on. The Armistice Day, it was called. First of all, from the First World War, and I think I've only got some simple facts. I'm sure a lot of you can say lots more about it. The 11th of November, 11 a.m. in 2018, the Germans basically had to say they had to surrender. They couldn't carry on, because despite this 4 years of trench, being in the trenches, which I've got some description of here, finally the Allied forces were actually making some quite strong advances, and the Germans and the others on their side could see that they were going to lose their danger, so they had to stop this war. So an armistice, a ceasefire, a truce, well, a finishing of it all was then called. So people were amazed, and in fact, they could see that this would have gone on and on and on. It was so horrible. And just, I don't like to go on and on about the horrible details, but something of it was there were at least 9 million people killed, if not more, perhaps much, much more than that. And while we're on the subject, we wouldn't call it a religious war. When people say today religions begin wars, World War II was the highest number of ever casualties, of about at least 40 million, I think. And then if you look on the charts, in between World War II and World War I, there were several Asian and Chinese wars back over the centuries, and over further back than that even, when there were tens of millions of people killed. Again, not particularly religious. So some of the religious wars, in comparison, though bad, yes, still quite small in comparison. So the cause of war is not religion itself. We'll come to that later on. But a little bit of a description of the trenches to remember why people are so thankful that it ended. The great number of deaths, but for the people in the trenches, the first thing that people called into, they were absolutely horrified to be called up and to go into these places where they know a lot of people had already died. It was the smell. The dead comrades were still in there. Rats the size of cats eating at them. And lice, that they didn't realize at the time, was the cause of a very painful fever. They got rotten feet that had to be amputated. And shell shock, you've heard the phrase shell shock. Shell shock was apparently to do with not just hearing that there's a bomb going off, but it actually caused the air to move, and that would shake up the whole of the inside of the body. And it caused the people to be in a true state of shock, and it often led to nervous breakdown among them. I saw some of the little bits of film, and people just sitting there trembling in an awful state. So you can imagine how thankful people were when this was called to an end. They remembered those who had died, but gave thanks to God for ending it. I still think it was incredible that it just seemed to be so people wanted to forget about it. That was their way of dealing with it. They should have turned to God. Now this year, Remembrance Sunday has stirred up some people to remember it. We trusting that we remember these things, as well as more recent wars and the terrible effect that it has on people, whether they're obviously some people are killed, but others are traumatized by the effects of it. We do remember that despite the great evil of war, that our country was saved from what would seem to have been even worse evil. And we believe that God was merciful to us. The stories of World War II and the times of prayer, particularly, that were called, and the way things miraculously changed, or as miraculously as we could define it, in wonderful, blessed ways, things were changed. And people would say they were spared from Dunkirk when it looked like they were all going to be killed, and other events as well. But people say today, people have been saying to them, well, look, it's all been wasted. All that we should be thankful for has all been thrown away. Now, yes, we could go on about all that, couldn't we? And how the country is running itself into all sorts of other problems by forgetting God. And it's true. But as Christians, we can still thank God for his blessings toward us. Many things that we've been given. And we should be sobered by it, though. Let's remember this, that nowadays they want to teach, well, we've got peace now. We don't have wars. We don't want wars anymore. Let's all be people of peace. But the true fact of the matter is that wars are not caused by people who are not like us. Wars are caused by people who are just like us. That's the chilling aspect of it all. They're no worse than us. We've got the same fallen state, the same nature, the same forgetful state, the same unthankful nature, the same sinfulness. James says in chapter 4, the first verse of chapter 4 of James, he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? See, it's that same, it's just another aspect of that thing where you hear something, then you forget it straight away. You look at yourself in the mirror, you can't remember what you look like. It's our fallen state that we're in. So the Lord Jesus says, when ye shall hear of wars, rumours of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Like poverty, like sin, there will always be wars until the Lord Jesus returns. Meanwhile, we should be thankful for our food, shelter, for the relative degree of freedom that we have. And in our country, despite the national spiritual decay, The Lord has kept his people. We're a testimony here. Yes. Those of us who are here today to be together.
Yes.
It's marvellous, isn't it? A taste of heaven to come that the Lord is showing us. He loves his people every bit as much when they're feeding on manna in the wilderness as when they're feeding on milk and honey in the promised land. We have to remember God's grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood shed for sinners. And his righteousness counted to all who believe. And be thankful. Don't be like moaning worldlings. So we see this unthankful state as part of the fallen state of man. But God has redeemed his people in Christ. They are given assurance of God's good will towards them in Christ. And then, because we still have a sinful state, he gives us helps to remember. It says in Exodus 13, verse 3, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt? Remember. Out of the house of bondage, but by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. And then they have the annual remembrance of the Passover to remember that the Lord brought them out. This is what the Christians say. Yes, the Lord has delivered me. I was dead in my sins, but now through faith in Christ, I'm alive forevermore. I'm risen with him, risen with Christ. And it's the Lord who's done it. It's all to his glory. It was the Lord that brought the wars to an end. Man that started them. The Lord that stopped them. He causes wars to cease. What do you say that the Lord has done for you? Have you got anything to say? So boldly say, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out. Why are you like unto the man beholding his natural face in a glass, that he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was? Day by day I think more of the second one here, forgetting who we are. Forgetting who we are in Christ, if we are indeed in Christ. Don't forget. Now, God's given us help, just like he gave them the Passover, the annual remembrance. He's also given us a weekly remembrance in the Ten Commandments that we read here. The seventh day, in the second version of the Ten Commandments given, the second time it's given here, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, they're reminded of the Sabbath day. It isn't here explained on account of the creation week, but it's explained in terms of salvation. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And remember, it says many, many times in Deuteronomy. You see the word remember, warning about forgetting. Remember what the Lord's done. Teach your children. Talk to them. Answer their questions. Remember, it says. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. That's like being a sinner separate from Christ in bondage. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out then for a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. It's much more great that God has saved a sinner from his sins and from the wrath, his wrath and from hell, than to have separated the whole of the sea and brought the whole of the people of God through the sea and saved them and drowned their enemies. It's much greater than he's drowned our sins and he's given us life in Christ. And he's given them to remember this, the Sabbath day. It's pointed out to have our Sabbath day. And then it says, and on that day, remember that thou was a slave, a servant. But now the Lord has brought thee out thence for a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Do you do that this day, this Lord's day? Do you remember these things? Thank God for them. It's much greater than the ending of a war, that God has ended your war against him by bringing you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even with this Sabbath safeguard, as it were, there's still a great danger, because our hearts are intensely wicked, are intensely deceitful and deceptive. And we must never overestimate ourselves. We must always be humble before God, because we're very prone, in prosperity perhaps. None of us are particularly prosperous, but we are relatively prosperous. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10 it says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not." I'm sure all of us that are living in houses which we didn't build ourselves. "Houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not." Well, we've certainly got the taps, we didn't get the water to come through the taps. "Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not." All the food from the supermarket, we didn't grow it. "When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware." When you've got all the things, whatever work you've done involved in it, of course, but it's all from God's grace. Every good gift is from God. "Beware lest thou forget the Lord." So easy. So many things to do. So many of those cares that we read about. The care of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. They choke the word. And he becometh unfruitful. "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." It's the Lord who delivered our country from wars, saved us from our enemies, and it's the Lord who saves the sinner and brings him forth out of the bondage of sin, the house of bondage. We must be careful that as Christians we don't become puffed up and forget that it is God who has given us all things. That we don't turn like the Old Testament people to following after other gods. Further helps. The Lord's given. He's given us the Lord's Supper in remembrance of me. We're told it's a sin, isn't it, if we don't remember the Lord's body or the communion. He gave himself as an offering for sin on the cross. Also to remember, well, there are lots of things. You can look up in the Bible, if you can look through a concordance under the word remember, there are very many things we're told to remember. Other things, we're to pray for each other. I'm always struck in the beginning of the Apostle Paul's letters, how he remembers them all. He names loads of them, and he remembers them in his prayer. But do you remember what he's praying for mostly? Their spiritual welfare. I wonder if we think about praying like that. We think of people's broken legs and things, or people running out of hospital and whatever, and we pray them. But we should be praying that people are standing in Christ, that they are remembering these things, that they're being who they are. They're being filled with the fullness of Christ. Pray for each other in this manner. You don't have to be ordained to pray for other people. We have people come up to you and say, "Well, couldn't you pray for me? Because you're a minister." Well, yes, but they can pray as well. It isn't a sacrament that you know, we're the only ones who can reach God with prayer. It's far from it at all. One of the most great preachers, again, I don't really need to have that expression really, but some of you can remember this quotation perhaps, said to him, he was asked why they were doing so well, as it were. Of course, it's God's providence. Sometimes there's that you'll be like Noah, and other times you'll be like Peter at Pentecost and thousands of people are converted. But he said that the key, or certainly one of the keys to the way their church was flourishing, was, he said, "My people pray for me." And you see, we get to the heart of the matter of things here. That the greatest terror that faces the believer are the temptations of wickedness, our sinful nature, the devices of the devil. He's trying to distract us from God's service, even from being thankful to God. So we must pray for one another that we'll be strong in the Lord. I've just been reading in the book of homilies of the church, the homily on matrimony. It's a wonderful, wonderful sermon. I'd say, in spite of there being today very many good sermons around, you can hear sermon audio and all sorts of the sermons on marriage, the Church of England sermon on marriage is, I haven't heard them all of course, but from what I know of it, I'd say that it's unequal. It gets to the heart of the matter. It gets, what it does, I can't give you the whole sermon now, it gets to the basis of sin and God's plan for his people, bring them into marriage rather than in adultery and fornication, and then it explains how the devil's against them, so they must pray for each other in their marriages, and such like things. It continues on in its own, being gentle because of our fallen state, because we're not what we should be, because we don't bring forth fruit, and because we are caught up with all sorts of snares from time to time, then the thing is to be sympathetic towards one another in the marriage. The husband to be gentle, the wife to be forgiving to the husband, and go on like this, seeing the real situation that it's in. It doesn't just set out and say, well, do this and do that and do that. It says, because you can't do this and you can't do that, therefore seek the Lord. That's the approach that's taken, and it's the same here in this remembrance. We need a prayer. We need to remember the communion of the body and blood of the body and blood of Christ. We need the remembrance of the Lord's Day. These simple things that God gives us to help us to remember. We're to remember those. And I don't want to go on too much on that, but I'll come to the conclusion just in a second. To remember those in chains, the Bible says. Those in bonds, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. To have great... There are lots of things we've got to remember, aren't we? To remember the persecuted church. And when we remember them, don't just remember it with a gloominess. Like we do. You see, you can, when you have a remembrance 2 minutes size, you can be very gloomy, can't it, really? But we're to be looking to the Lord. And so when we pray for those who are persecuted, remember that they're suffering with Christ. It's a great honor that they have. Remember that they may be the greatest witnesses of the truth in the whole world. Pray that they'll be strong in the Lord. Yes, for their sufferings to be alleviated. But they'll be strong in the Lord. Further the cause of the gospel. That's what they're there for. Now to conclude. Having a remembrance then of things. We may think, well, no, I don't. My memory's bad. And as we said, it's not just a product of old age, having a bad memory. It's a product of the fall of man. Our minds don't work as they should do. And it's part of our sinful state. The prodigal son, remember him. He went off and got into a terrible state. Wanting to eat the pig's food. Now he seems to remember, doesn't he? But I put it to you really that it's God that remembers. That's the great thing. He returns to his Father. He doesn't only remember his love towards his son. He imputes his righteousness. He clothes him in a righteous robe, the best robe. The righteousness of Christ is the best robe. and God forgets. Sounds impossible. But it isn't lying. God can't lie. But it says here in Hebrews, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's God's remembering and God's putting away sin that is so, which is the one thing for us to remember. God remembers his people. He remembers to be merciful to his people. All the sheep, he doesn't just go and leave any of the sheep that are lost. All the lost sheep are called to Christ, to trust him, and to give an everlasting life. And he remembers their sins no more. This is a marvellous way that God works. And we have to remember our state. We are forgetful. We're sinful. We aren't what we should be. But God is a God of great grace, marvellous grace in his mercy is sure in Jesus Christ. And that he will not remember their sins. He pushes them away as far as the east is from the west. And we've said today, another concluding point, there are a lot of people that would rather forget a lot of things. I've said about those that don't want, seem they don't want to talk about the war. They won't tell the next generation. They won't be, it was not a warning to us. We haven't had the warnings. Yet, the two world wars were one of the most significant events of the 20th century. It should have brought people to repentance. It should have brought them, as the preacher Dr. Lloyd Jones often illustrated in his sermons, it should have brought them to see the folly of man. That war comes from within. That we would have been just the same if we'd have been in that position. To see the utter inability of man to bring on a utopia on earth, to bring about a United Nations of peace or this sort of thing. It can't be done. It can't be done except all things to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. If you're like the person who cannot even remember himself when he's looked in the mirror, remember that this is what your heart is like, a sinful heart that we have. And it's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Remember this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, says the Apostle Paul. Chief sinners saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look to yourself in the mirror, you and take an honest look at yourself, and you can't even see the inside, you say, I need to be saved from my sins. You don't go away and say, oh, I've got this, I've got that, and I'm the great person in the world. No, you see, all you see in the mirror is a sinner. And you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking to him, he saves sinners. He saves by his blood and by his righteousness. And he makes us into doers as well as hearers of his word. When we turn to Jesus Christ, we've actually been caught on that hook, and the barb of the hook has gone in and it's caught us and we can't get up. He will never, never forsake his people. He will never forget what he's done. The Bible often calls out, remember, O Lord. And so we can be sure that we can call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's absolutely for all of his people. Let us remember then from this illustration given to us, that the one that looks in the mirror and they forget their face, they can't remember, it shows our utter fallen state, our utter inability to do anything to save ourselves, to do any good It's all from God's grace. And we must call on the Lord Jesus Christ to remember we've been given these helps. To remember, we've been given Remembrance Sunday to remember. That both from a horrible pit, the Lord brought an end to a horrible war. And to all the people who put their trust in Jesus Christ, he brings them out of the pit of their own sin. And he gives us things, ways to remember. He gives us the Lord's Day. He tells us to remember that it was him who brought us out. It's God himself that brings the sinner to life, that gives life. And he gives us the communion service, the Lord's Supper, to remember him. He calls us to remember each other in prayer, remember those who are in troubles. And to give him all the praise. Let's be sure that we see ourselves as we really are. But that we're not, that our fear is turned to God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes the sinner whole. And he promises more grace. He washes away our sins. And though we acknowledge our sins day by day, we must see ourselves still as we truly are. And we think, well, I've heard all these things before, but I look back on that day. This hour, we almost need an alarm clock in us, don't we, to remind us every few minutes or every hour to look to the Lord, to remember his grace, to remember the death of Christ, to remember that he's for his people, to remember that we're called to live for Christ, not to live for ourselves. May the Lord give you all grace. To remember the Lord Jesus Christ above all things. Remember him. Amen.
Amen.